prior to the death of King, I've conceived myself as a political Lazarus. I probably was in the grave, probably smoldering, even stinking, probably, you know. My political course was in flesh was rotting. But I joined a gang called the Bungalow Braves. This is part of adolescent rebellion, the whole James Dean, Tupac Shakur type of a social deal. And the way I did was work out my rebellion to adolescent to adult authority by hanging out with these guys on the corner. Because I go home and I read, I come back on the corner and I chase women and steal, petty thief. And what happened was we knew, the Bungalow Braves knew that the women were going to be down in Mason Temple, and we knew that they were going to lock their purses up in the trunks of the cars. And so we were good, a friend of mine, Ghost, and I were good at picking these locks. So we're going to pick these locks and we're going to get this money out. But while we were down there, it rained so hard, until it drove us inside the narthex at Mason Temple. And while we were there, what I noticed that night was that there were a lot of speakers. Bernard Lee, Jesse Jackson was there, Abernathy was there, Samuel Billy Cowles, a whole host of all these pantheon of civil rights greats. But the crowd was not going to be satisfied till Martin King came. We now know he was over here at the Lorraine Motel sleeping. He wasn't coming out. He had called Coretta and said, "I'm not going. It's too bad. Nobody's going to be there." But they ran it and raving and they stomped. I've never seen feet sound as loud as I heard that night, where people were literally stomping in Mason Temple. So enter King. King comes from the left side, and he is so diminutive. His physical stature is so small. And I'm going, how can a person this small affect the globe? This was my question that night. And he started talking about history. If I had to live in any period, I wouldn't stop here at the Parthenon. I wouldn't stop here when Hitler and Stalinism. I would come right now to where I am now. And for the first time, I could hear the voice of King weaving history and Shakespeare and philosophy in with the cores of the black church. Blew my mind. Because my view of black pastors was, hey, they were pimps in the community, and they were pimping the church, so they didn't have much love for them. But here's a guy with the intellect. Here's a guy with analysis. Here's a guy with that voice, meaning that cadence.
And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
And I remember leaving there, and the next day King was dead. And I remember I don't remember too many times in my life being as depressed as I was during this period of time. And that's really what fired my political awakening. Of course, Bobby King gets assassinated in June. And I think collectively from April to June, black America goes through one of the bleakest moments of despair, nihilism, that I've seen in my 45 years, even more so now with the hip-hop generation. It was just gloom, pain, blues, and agony. Will, of course, you know, we're outside of the Lorraine Motel and now the National Civil Rights Movement. And in our backdrop here is room 306. The infamous room, right outside the door of the room, right outside where Dr. King was assassinated on the balcony. As a matter of fact, as I look there at the balcony, I can see the wreath right at the spot where Dr. King lay, and where his blood for so long, his life force was spilled out on the balcony. And then right below are the Cadillac cars which used to whisk Dr. King around. So when I look up there at that room where Dr. King was died, I looked at all the martyrs for justice struggles around the world prior to I got here, and I recognized one thing: that I'm who I am and where I am because I'm standing on the shoulders of a lot of people. And I owe them because they're carrying my weight. Now, on their shoulders, I can see farther. And if I can see farther, I ought to be expected to go farther. So I have a quest to do something with my life and to relate what I do somehow to the achievement of justice and transformation on personal and social realm. So that's what that represents for me.